parents share with a three-year-old, 21-year-old kids. They shouldn't, but they do, you know, they don't bargain with them about it, or make deals with them all sometimes they do. But basically, it's a sharing of a distribution that's achieved by sharing. Another obvious way that distribution is achieved in some societies is by theft, okay? Now, theft is a very simple act, okay, compared to bargaining. I mean, theft is an autocratic act, okay? It's a particular kind of tyranny, okay? In other words, when you steal something, all you have to do is have the only thing that has to be there is the presence of the other person's goods, and you have the ability to take it, okay? And you take it. So it's a unilateral act, and that sense, it's a particular kind of autocratic act, okay? Or a particular kind of tyrannic act. So it's a very simple act. You see, bargaining now requires that two people, all right, A and B, attend to each other, are mutually responsive to each other, have the social objective of exchange, okay? And this is one distinctive, or a couple of more distinctive things, all right? Now, I'll stop here for a minute and ask this question. Another thing that's distinct about bargaining, or fairly distinct to bargaining, is they project congruence, but different futures, okay? In other words, and it's a very complex functional identity that's created in the bargaining. Namely, the functional identity that's created in bargaining is I want what you got, and you want what I got, okay? In other words, so there's the functional identity projected, or the future projected, of I want to try to get a hold of what you got, and you want to try to get a hold of something that I own, all right? So they're different futures, okay? But they are both congruent or compatible, okay? Now, if they're not, then there is no bargain. So I come up to you and say, look at all the nice sweet chewing gum I got. Now let's trade, I want to trade for your marbles. And you say, I don't want any gum, okay? Well, I'm projecting a particular future, and you're denying the congruent or compatible future, and there's no bargain. So there are congruent futures you have to project, which is quite different than the idea of theft. I mean, theft is a very, very simple act. You just walk up and you punch the person out and grab it and run away. And there's no congruences. But you've got to get that congruent future projected with a very good complexity to deal that bargain, to complete that bargaining act. It takes a lot of socialization to get that young child to the level where he can bargain, okay? A young child is in both stealing all the time. I mean, he sees other kids toys around, he grabs them, he takes them. And one of the ways I think we teach kids to bargain is we make them go through the act. They want a toy, and you say, well, if you want Susie's toy, you give up your toy for it, okay? And they don't know what the hell's going on, but you make them do it often enough, and finally they get some vague idea that, hey, if I surrender something, then I might get something back, and then they'll get on that level, they'll go around trying to initiate bargaining acts, and they'll offer something to somebody and expect to get something back at the point. But it's a very, very complex act. I don't know what the typical age of kids is playing bargaining. I don't, it's time to go to kindergarten. They're capable of maybe primitive bargaining acts, but that's about all. I mean, it's the very simplest kind of bargaining act. Okay, I want to stop right there. Maybe there's some questions or comments you want to make here. Yeah?
What was the
focus? Okay, that's a good question. that's a thing I skipped over, I left out. The thing, another thing about bargaining that makes it complex is that at the minimum, there are two foci, okay? As opposed to a single focus of very simple cooperative behavior. Because in the bargaining, the foci of attention is the other's possession and one's own possession. And the other person is looking at his own possession and the other's possession too. In other words, at the minimum, there's two foci in the bargaining. Whatever the object might be, you know, the bubble gum and the marbles, or the apple deal and $70,000, or whatever they're going for nowadays, that sort of thing. So at the minimum, you got two foci in bargaining. Good question.
Subdividing that, the whole act into both people are concentrating on doing something, not necessarily specifically.
Right. And that's another way of saying what I was trying to say. When I said they have congruent but different functional interests, okay, functional identities, okay. They're both trying to get something, okay. Now see,
All right, now what happens, why we call it a mixed motive type of flock behavior, is that there's that mutual recognition on the part of bargainers that, hey, in order to consummate an exchange, we got to cooperate. Right? But on the other hand, if I'm selling automobiles, I want to get as much money as I can out of them, but if you're buying an automobile, you want to get as cheap as you can, okay? So in that sense, there's an element of at least competition, if not conflict, in the bargaining of that too, okay? So we have compatible interests, but we also have individualistic different interests, okay? And so it makes, and that's one of the reasons why bargaining flies apart quite often. And so you, well, every now and then, you should go out and take a look, you'll find bargaining flying apart. I mean, it'll degenerate into, oops, pure conflict. In which one says, well, yeah, I'll offer you this, and the other says, oh, I don't want to deal with you. And you got to deal with me? No, I don't. Yes, you do. And he tries to grab it or punch the other person out to get it. And you punch him back. Okay, now it's become pure conflict. Okay. So in the bargaining act, it's a composite act. Okay. That's what I mean by this term mixed motive. It's a composite act of these simple primitive forms of social activity that I talked about. Okay.
Other questions, John?
Yeah. Oh, the two focuses are can be anything, okay? They're whatever I owe and whatever you owe, okay? Where the two foci is A has got X and B has got Y, and both A is looking at, these are his foci, he's looking at X and Y, making judgments of which is worth the most. B is doing the same, okay? So they got at the minimum two. Now, obviously, in the case of the bargaining act, there can be a whole multitude, you know? I will give you bubble gum and my left shoe and 16 other things if you just give me tinker toys, okay? And so there can be more than two, but at the minimum there are at least two foci in the bargaining act, which is one of the reasons it makes it very complex. As opposed to, say, the act of theft, which is only one of the foci to put it, then we grab the thing and run, that sort of thing. Okay? Yeah. So then the nature of the act, okay, and now we're talking on a little more complex level of mutual responsiveness, okay? The mutual responsiveness that is involved in the bargaining act is offer-counter-offer, okay? Namely, when you join together and you start doing the bargaining, the content of a mutual responsiveness is I make an offer, you make a counteroffer, okay? Now, or if you want to talk about it in other words, when you think of it in terms of counter offer, offer counteroffer, or you think about it in terms of it's haggling, okay? It's arguing over the relative's merit, okay? Now, it's obvious that for the bargaining act to continue, both sides have to be responsive to each other, okay? I mean, one can initiate an act of bargaining or attempt to get an act of bargaining in another way and say, hey, I've got these beets, I want to trade for some corn. And the other person can respond, I ain't interested, you know. Well, they don't have to say that. That's a minimal level of responsiveness when they say, I'm not interested. They simply get completely ignored, okay? So to keep that act going, there's got to be a mutual responsiveness on the level of offer, counteroffer, okay? And that, of course, that mutual responsiveness is focused on that social objective of we're going to reach an exchange, we're going to make an exchange. Now, actually, there's a step in between, if you look at it in a real defined way, at this offer-counteroffer level, they're supposedly moving forward to an agreement, okay? They're